Everybody, I'm Kay Blake.
And I'm BL McGrew.
We are officially on season 4 of the Bookish Girls. I'm really excited about that. I can't believe it's been like 4 seasons. But if you are just new joining us, this is just an extension of a platform that was created to uplift books and women of color that write all the words. So yes. Just wanted to thank you, BL, because you know you've been hanging with me for now, so just thank you for that.
Gosh, is as inconsistent as we are, listen, we gonna get them episodes in and we're gonna give you seasons. So you guys, this episode is just like a quick like, hey, this is what we've been doing and not doing, and you know, we were actually just talking about it before we started recording, you guys. And I said, hey Kay, what if you haven't been doing anything since season 3? Well, how do you feel in that space? But all this aside, I know a lot of stuff has, you know, probably gone on. I don't want to talk about my writing, but I'll let you go first since it's your show. And then I'll just... Have you noticed I always say you go first? Because whatever you answer, it helps me figure out what I should say. I'm like, oh, so that's the direction we're going. All right.
So I mean, I would say that this starting off this season is a lot different than last season. I felt like last season we was really depressed.
And it was literally the worst, most like it wasn't the worst show. It was the most depressing, sad. Like I refused to listen to it. Cause like literally the only reason we even recorded that show, that first episode for last season, was because I felt bad that it was, I kept pushing it back. Like, you were going through stuff too, but you're trying to get, you know, we were both going through a lot of craziness.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, if it was up to me, our first episode wouldn't be till August, because I was just like, eh, I'm so, but I was like, you have to just rip the band-aid. Like, look, this is what we're doing. You got to treat your, my new thing is you got to treat your goal like your, these things like this, our writing, this show,
yeah,
platforms, you got to treat it like you would treat your 40 hour a week job. You know what I mean? I wish I could, but I couldn't do that with the job that I clock in with. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
But anyway, I didn't mean to cut you off, but yes, that first episode was straight up just horribly sad. But anyway.
Yes, I feel like with that regard, I'm not like, I mean, not that everything is great, but I'm not as sad as I was. I felt like I was so heavy. A lot of just a lot of heaviness with the world, with like quarantine and like kind of having to be forced away from people. And it was odd. And, you know, my little book events were things I looked forward to kind of get my personal time. And that was taken. So I feel like that's what a lot of it of 2020 was. So, I mean, things are a little better. I mean, COVID still happening, but it's not as it's not as hectic. I don't want to say the gloss off anybody who's still like
passing away. That's the perfect word for it though, hectic, because
I feel like that's like, it's not as hectic. They got the vaccine happening now, and you know, it seems like they're trying to loosen some restrictions to an extent. I don't mean the people who's like having a field day doing shenanigans with like no mask and everything, but like, you know, just people who are still trying to practice what the rules were and still kind of at least have some kind of relationships where we're not stuck on a video call. Because I feel like I'm tired of Zoom, and I'm like, I get it. Like, to have a year full of Zoom meetings, I was like, all right. Okay. Listen, I'm over Zoom. I'm over Zoom. I'm over
Skype. I'm over passcode.
Yeah, I'm just like over that. So I feel like I was able to like hit up with some friends and we still social distance, but I was able to see them in person and that helped. So I feel like it's just less hectic. So I feel in a better space. I just wish my writing would reflect my better space. I feel like I have been doing my wrestling writing, and I've been writing my horror nonfiction pieces, not fiction. But my writing, as far as fiction, I don't know. It's like,
what's I've been writing. What's so fiction?
Like, and I am working with another author writing a book, and even I felt so bad because I kind of like slacked a bit. I was supposed to have my chapter, I think, done originally in December, and I didn't get it to her until March. And it was honestly, I was like I felt bad because she did hers in like 3 days, her chapter. And I did like 3 months. And I'm like, this is not even like, I'm so sorry, because this was totally my idea to write this with you. And then I don't know what happened, but it wasn't coming. And I was like, I didn't want to give you something that I know, like, obviously first drafts and stuff are always garbage, but
yeah.
I was like, this is going to be hot garbage if I pass it when I don't know what I'm having. Like, you want at least better garbage, not like really bad garbage. Like, exactly. You know, so, so I mean, it's coming along, but I just doesn't, I don't know what's happening. It's just been such a weird, like, last 12 months of trying to figure out what I'm doing as far as my fiction stuff. I feel like I'm still like a bit lost at times. Yeah. And I don't know why necessarily that is, but that's at least for me at the moment. What about you?
Oh. Well, I want to be honest. Like, I am 32. I'm way, way younger than you, but.
Oh my God.
I'm 30. I just want to throw it out there. I'm the youngest on this podcast. I'm 32. And in my 32 years, you know, since being 18 of my adult life, last year was the most depressing year for me. And it's so weird because a lot of people, if you say, oh, 2020 was, you know, a depressing year for you, you automatically just say, oh, because COVID, everything was shut down, everything was crazy. For home and isolated, not having to go into work, being able to say, oh, I'm not going because of COVID. Oh, I can't go because of COVID. Mm-hmm. That helped me so much because I was in a dark place before all of this shut down. So granted, it's like a catch-22 because being so isolated almost made it worse because I didn't have to put on an act like I've done all the previous years when I was going through a depressive episode. I had to just put it together. I was working with kids. You can't do that with babies. Like, I'm not going to be like that around babies.
Yeah.
So... oh, for people who are new, I used to work with kids. I don't anymore. So with that being said, being isolated and all that kind of stuff, I was just really, really, really just dark place. For the first time in my adult life, other than when I was in college, I started seeing a therapist and things like that. I couldn't stay with her because it was too much money for as many times she wanted to see me. Way too much money. It was like $150 to $200 per session. She wanted to see me 3 times a week. I'm like, I'll fix it. I'll figure it out. But anyway, I'll joke aside. So I will say, as far as being in that dark place, I am not. I'm not. Which feels so good to say because I feel like my terminologies have been, oh, I'm getting better, or every day, like, I have mental health issues. I'm going to have horrible days. I'm going to have great days. Mm-hmm. I have constant anxiety that's never going to go away. But like little things that I didn't care about last year, I'm slowly but surely implementing back into my life now. So like my hair got so dry and disgusting and breaking off and all this stuff. I'm taking care of my hair. I do a daily morning and night. I do my face. I started taking supplements every single day, morning and night. I do not miss a day, like things that I didn't care about before. And this week I had salad 5 days in a row, but then I did on that 6th day when my salad stuff ran out, I spent $42 on Mexican food. So listen, it's a battle. And I wish I was exaggerating. I bought 3 enchiladas, 2 quesadillas, 3 hard tacos. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So I'm saying all of that to say I'm at the space now where I feel better. I'm not at the weight I want. I'm the heaviest I've ever been. So that's depressing, but that's like a thing that I can change once I get my stuff together. And you said something that I felt when you said, I wish my writing will reflect the good place that I'm in. I'm sitting here waiting. I'm like, all right, hey, I'm ready. What you got? Characters? And my character's like, nah, we good right here. Doing nothing for another year. So it's like, and I think the thing is too, I haven't just sat down in front of my laptop. So I think I told you this before. My baby, my laptop that I wrote all of my books on, just decided, hey, we can't do this anymore. Like, it still works, but I would type a whole paragraph and you wouldn't see it. And then all of a sudden everything would type. Like it was on its last leg. So I said, ooh, if I buy me a new laptop, a nice, fancy, expensive laptop, I would write every day. I got that laptop June. I have opened the laptop probably 6 times since June, and I'm not even exaggerating. So it wasn't that. I was like, oh, it's because my computer's old. If I get a new one. But I think if I were to actually sit down and put my stories in front of me, maybe I would write, because right now I'm at that phase, and I think every writer goes through this at some point, and I'm sure you've gone through it, where you'll read your stories over and over and over and over and over again, thinking that, okay, I'm trying to pick up where I left off so I can start writing again, and then you don't. You're just like, oh, I like that story. And then you stop.
Yeah.
So that's where I am right now. So I got to tell you something off of this podcast, because it's separate. But
yeah,
I've just been, I think I officially chose the third book that's at some point going to be released. And at night, right before I go to bed, I just read it on my phone in my email. And I read it so I can hear their voices, get back in their heads. Because before, I was reading multiple of my stories and like all these characters were meshing together. I'm just getting these characters because it switches POVs. I'm getting them in my head, hoping that one day I'm just going to be like, all right, time to sit down and write. And then it doesn't happen. So I don't know. So I don't know if that answers the question of what we've been doing since December, since our last episode. But I think mentally just getting it together, because I'm still in quarantine. Like there are literally, I can name on both hands how many people I'm willing to be around in the same room. And I still wear my mask. In like, I don't care, because I don't know what people be doing. Like I'll go to the grocery store and I come home.
No, I hear you.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
So I guess I'm in a better headspace. But as far as writing, it might as well still be this time last year. It's just, it's like you said, it pisses me off, because it's easy to blame not writing on so many things. But when you finally don't have, it has something to do with writer's block. I have all of the ideas. Like to me, writer's block is when you want to write and there's nothing there.
Yeah.
I have all the things that I want to write. I just don't want to write. Like I wish I could say, Kay, this is how I want my story to go. Could you write for me real quick? Literally. And I would be fine. So I don't know if that counts as writer's block, you know, but I don't know. And I really also think it's like my career change too, because I had more time in my last career, like because kids sleep, you know what I mean? Like I get time to, you know, during my work day to write. I work till 6:30 every night. I don't feel like writing when I clock out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just ramble for 20 minutes to just say I don't write.
No, I mean, I think like you mentioned your mental state, mental like health. And I do feel like that's part of it too. Well, for me at least, like I'm not in the dark. Like I was in a really bad like place. Mm-hmm. And I will tell anybody who would listen, like 2020, I had some years in my adult life, at least, that's been some bad ones. Like I'm like, yo, this was a bad year. 2020, I felt like topped it, and I didn't think things can top a couple of the things I've been through. I was like, nah, I could top that. And then 2020 happened, and it was like, haha, okay. Exactly. Like you thought. And it just felt like it all piled up that I was even questioning if I wanted to write anymore. And I think what kind of held me there a little longer was something my very first editor, professional editor, told me when she was like, I read something you wrote recently, and the difference of how much you've grown and how like great you are now. And I think that held me on a little bit. Like, okay, somebody appreciates my words. And not that like, you know, I don't hear people saying like, oh, when's your next book coming out? We can't wait for this. And like, I know people have been waiting, and it's just like, I just can't get myself in the space to write the fiction, even though it is there. There's so much that's there. It's just like, I don't know if it's because I'm not sleeping well, because I haven't really slept well in years. And I literally had to do a sleep test earlier this year. And it was like, oh, well, you don't sleep. Like, I didn't need them to tell me I don't sleep. And I'm like, well, I know I don't sleep. That's the point of me being here. And they were just saying I never actually reach deep sleep. So I'm always in a state of light sleeping. I never actually get the restorative sleep. And I don't know if that's what it is too. So mine might be a mix of things. But oh, it's just, I know it's
that. I'm telling you right now, it's that. I was just joking. Like, I'm the kind of person, it could be 3 a.m. If I'm asleep and you say, hey, Brit, I'm like, yeah. Like, I wake right up. Like, I was at my mom's house for, what was the last holiday? Easter. Yeah. And her fiance came downstairs and she turned off the TV. Now, mind you, know how when the TV's on, and it goes like to that, hey, are you still watching? So it's completely quiet. You don't hear anything. literally her just turning off the TV that already had no sound, popped up. She was like, shit, and ran up the steps because I'm such a sleeper. So I told, and I drug myself now. It's with supplements, but I take valerian root every night. I take melatonin. I can't pronounce it. It's called ashwagandha something. And anyway, keep going. Yeah, but sleep, I'm telling you, it's sleep. It's sleep. It's sleep.
Yeah, I sleep maybe 2 to 3 hours a night. So I'm like always perpetually tired. And it's like, I do my job stuff because that's also writing. And I'm like, well, I write all the time because my stuff I get paid to do is writing and I'm writing for other people. So,
right.
But I always see that as, okay, this is a job though. Like I got to get paid. I got to pay bills. So I have to force myself to do this. But like, then it's like the stuff that's for me. And I'm like, yeah, no, I don't really feel like, I don't think I can sit and focus. And I understand. I got me a whole new desk, set up the space really nice. I'm like, oh, I got a new desk. It's all cheery. I have my women, badass women Funkos on a desk to cheer me on. And then that does not help me write. And I'm like, so I just did this whole aesthetic to get myself in a space. And now I'm still sitting here like, oh, it's still not working. So it wasn't the desk. Like, I got me a nice desk and it's like really, I made it look so, it's like so pretty now. And I'm like, this is like better than my last space, like from last year. I was like, yo, F this desk and F this laptop. And I'm like, you know, I'm ready. I got my equipment looking better now. And nope, not happening. And I'm just like, I don't know why.
Why are we the same? I literally was like, oh, now mind you, any other book I wrote before, I was at my dining table in these hard chairs, sitting on my couch, on the floor. Didn't need all that fanciness to write all those 36 books, right? But now it's like, oh, you know what? If I get this plant, if I get some pillows, if I make my spare room into an office, if I spend $800 on a laptop, if I do this, I'm going to write the best novel I've ever written. Nah, fam, you're just gonna look at this stuff like for the longest time. Because, you know, and I saw a tweet the other day that cracked me up. I should screenshot it and send it to you. This person tweeted, working on my novel again, and then posted pictures of them cleaning out their refrigerator. And I'm like, that's relatable. Because your brain goes like, you know what? If I just do this and get it out of the way, I'm gonna write. If I do this other thing, all right. Well, let me vacuum the whole apartment. Let me mop. Let me do the dishes. I have a dishwasher, like literally hand washing dishes and have a dishwasher to just make myself think that I'm getting ready to write. But oh my gosh.
I put up a whole like bunk bed, like doing that. I'm like, oh, I'm like clean. I'm changing my apartment now. In with, you know, in with the new, out with the old, like different space. And I like bruised myself up putting up bunk beds for my kids and then my new bed frame. I did all this stuff by myself. Like, I don't need anybody to help me do this. I got this. I bruised it all. And then I'm like, yeah, this is like perfect setup to now get all those words just flowing. And nope, it's just like, you know, it's just like, you thought, Kay, that this was going to happen. And I feel like sometimes I feel like a fraud because I'm like, everybody asks and I'm like, well, I'm doing some writing and I am with regards to like the stuff that's not for me. So it's like, I'm writing stuff not for me. you know, I might say something sarcastic in a tweet or an Instagram post. I'll post my wrestling stuff like all the time, but then it's like my fiction. I'm like, what is happening? Why is this like this? So I'm hoping.
You know what pisses me off too? I have to type a lot, write a lot of notes, document things, and da da da. I am a fast typer. I think I am. I've never been timed, but I think in the range of people typing without looking at the keyboard, I feel like I'm up there. I feel like I can get some stuff done.
Yeah.
Because I don't write as much, like I was writing every single day in the morning, in the middle of the day, in the evening for months, for like 2-3 years straight, just writing every single day. And now when I'm at work, I be having so many mistakes and I get so frustrated. I'm like, you have released 2 books. 100,000 words, 80,000 words, and you can't just write this lady, blah, 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 just red squiggly lines. I'm like, look at what happens. So it's not even just like the creativity. I'm losing like my technical stuff.
It's not just me, because I've been getting really upset about that. And I'm like, oh, I made a typo, ill, and now I'm annoyed. And people's like, it's not a big deal. I was like, it is a big deal. I'm a writer. I should know better.
And can't write. What you mean?
That's exactly what it is.
Okay, nothing pisses me off more than looking at the screen and typing really fast and then seeing the red squiggly line pop up and I have to look down at the key like, what the hell did I push? I was writing wrong. Like, and let's say it's every day, probably every other call, I am messing up something I'm writing, and I'm like, bro, you literally get paid to literally write. Like, that's all you gotta do. Is like, that's like the first basis of this whole thing, is to like just write the words straight through. But so that's another thing I realized. I don't think I was that good of a typist until I started writing the books, because you know how it is when you get to a certain part and you writing and your brain is going faster than your fingers are going.
Yeah.
You gotta train your hands to go as fast as your brain. Like, prime example, you remember that chapter in her butterfly diary, Red, the kitchen? That scene, I was like shaking, and like my brain had already had what happened, but she's still at the sink, and I'm like, oh God, come on. So, you know, doing that, you kind of train yourself. So I really see the difference. Because I should be able to talk to somebody, look at the screen and type, and then not get distracted because I messed up. But that's a whole other thing. I can literally talk an hour about being so pissed off that I don't have to type anymore.
That has been happening to me, especially the last 2 months. And then people would like calm down. I'm like, y'all don't even understand why this is serious to me, because I don't make these mistakes. Like, this is not like that one typo where like your phone might autocorrect something. I'm like, no, this is me messing up words I know how to spell. Like, this is like making me feel real dumb right now, and I don't like the way this feels. And now I'm like, this is the stuff I correct people on Facebook for. Like, I don't want to be that person that I correct because I know better. And I think it's a fact that it's because I'm not writing the way I used to. And I'm so funny you mentioned that scene, because I swear I just mentioned about that scene yesterday. I was watching something and I just randomly mentioned to my oldest daughter. I was like, there's this character in a book my friend wrote. And he's like on my list forever of people I hate. And she was like, what do you mean? I was like, so I explained like how I felt about Danny Glover in The Color Purple. Like, he was such an asshole that he's forever on my list of people I hate because of that one character. I was like, oh yeah, that was him. I was like, if you think of how I complain about this guy being on my list, he can die. And I'm like, that would be sad and all, but I'm still going to feel the way because of The Color Purple. This is literally how I felt about that character. So I was like, this is how I feel about this one character my friend had to write, because he was such a shitty person. And I'm just like, ew, I hate you. And you're on my perpetual book list of people I hate. So it's just funny you mentioned that, because I literally said that yesterday. Like, I'm like, I hate this character so much. He was so horrible to the main character. I was so upset. And I'm like, he's on my list of people I just cannot forgive. Like, just
every time somebody tweets like, oh, a villain, you know how they have those hot takes of, you know, every villain is probably like the hero in somebody else's story, or every villain has like their origin, you know, their origin and why they're that way, and you want to know their side. Any villain that can seem like the good person to tell their side. No, not all of them. If you've read Her Butterfly Diary, there's not nan thing I can tell you about how he was raised, how he grew up, his mama, his pappy, whatever, to justify or make you see his point of view, unless you're a shitty person and the devil as well. Because I love the concept of, you know, quote unquote villains having redeeming traits. I love that. So I purposely went out of my way to make it so he did not have redeemable traits. I didn't want a single moment where he seemed okay, where she liked him in the beginning. I didn't want nothing that you could pull from and say, what changed in him? What made him this way? I want you to know he ain't shit from the third chapter to the very up to the epilogue. You know what I mean?
He deserves all the bad things.
I had that in my mind, because it's so easy to make, like, to humanize, like, the bad person.
Yeah.
Sometimes bad people are bad people. I don't want you to humanize Donald Trump. I don't want you to humanize Candace Owens. What's her name? Not Candace Owens. Yeah, Candace Owens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Owens. So I don't want to mix her up with Parker, the basketball player who I love. There's certain people that I don't want to know their background. You're just a bad person. This is who you are. This is the way you act, and that's it. I don't need to know nothing else. Case closed. So that's why I wrote Oscar that way, because he's supposed to be trash. But that's a whole other conversation. We don't gotta talk about Oscar. He's a horrible bum.
I literally was just talking about it yesterday. I was like, yo, I hate him, and I just want all the bad things. Though he's fictional. I was like, it's funny because these are fictional characters, they don't exist, but in my head I'm like, no, I don't care. You just need to burn it all.
One of my babies was like, you kill everybody else but can't kill Oscar. I'm like, oh wow.
I mean, she's right though. I mean, yeah. Yeah, let's like make that happen.
I'm just kidding.
Let's get that bonus short story of his death. Like, it's fine. Perfectly fine. You know, it's fine.
I don't know how to write anymore. Why don't you write a fanfic of it? And then you can just say, written by... And then you just write the fanfic. We'll just call it... Because then you call it a fanfic, it makes it okay. And...
But like, and it would be like one chapter, just his horrible death, and then it's the end. Like, there's nobody needs to cry or feel bad. We don't need to have introspection. It's just like he dies painfully.
He just dies.
Like, yes, he needs painful death. He deserves pain. Like, literally, it's just okay. See, I'm about to ramble to how like that character. I feel like a lot of your, it's like your books in general. I really like. I see memes. And I'm like, oh, this is her books right here. And this is why I always be tagging you. I'm like, oh, this is you. You do this to me all the time.
You will see a post that says authors killing people. F this hoe. Blah blah blah. And this will tag me like, this is you.
Well, like, I think the one where it was like, when you finish the book and you don't know what to do, so I was like, oh, that was me with We Are Emergible. I was like, yeah, people don't even, when I say that, yeah, I had me crying, not like the real gangster that I am in a New York street block. I'm like, everybody in New York is supposed to be real tough and all. And I'm like, yo, I was crying on a street in New York City. Like, that will forever be like, yo, this book really had me cry outside of like random people. It was like, are you okay? Because I'm sitting here crying about a story. So, yeah. Like, you are so that right, and that really got me all in my feels. I'm like, yo, this is not even necessary right now. Like, why must we do this?
Listen, and you are the only person that read the final draft before release, because everybody else got the first one, and I added that car scene with the prom dress. That was not in the draft that I sent to the original betas. So you got the actual full one before it got sent. But speaking of going back to Oscar dying, just really quick, because I don't want to talk about my books. This has been 27 years. That's not even me. I'm not even with those people anymore. I don't know who that person is that wrote that. But do you remember me mentioning that I was writing a second book for her Butterfly Diary called Fire? I think it was like Firefly or something. And I wrote like two chapters for it. Did we ever talk about that?
I think you mentioned it.
Okay, good. Cause I don't be, you know, I be not telling people stuff and then get mad and slip up and say it. But he was basically like harassing them, and it was going to be this whole thing, and he was going to die at the end of that. Like, that was going to be like the ha-ha moment. But rereading her Butterfly Diary, I was just like, she's been through so much. They've been through so much. Let's just let them have this epilogue and like just be that. You know what I mean? Like, it was just too much. But I did have plans in the second book to, it was, what was it? It was Firefly something. I don't think it was Diary though. But it was going to be great. But he was just harassing them because they quote unquote ruined his life and all that. But anyway, let's not talk about that. Oh, but also, I just realized I missed like a major thing that happened in my life that could have been like really sad. And it's, thank God, like my brain, like nothing's happened in the last few months. So just health wise, I don't even know where to start. So how do you even describe it? So everything is good. You know, I got to go do checkups and stuff. But I had a tumor removed when I was 16, and then I found a tumor in 2017, went to the doctor. They said, it's okay. They did a test. Everything came back fine. They said, if it gets bigger, come back in. This year, I went back because it felt like it got bigger. They did a cytology test, and the cells came back atypical. So that first thing was super, super scary. So they're like, okay, you know what? Just gonna have you come in, do a mammogram. Then they found two more tumors. So then it was crazy, crazy scary. And then we had to wait for, I think I had ultrasound and something. And then I had to have two biopsies, which I thought were going to be like aspirating something. And I just made that up. Like, I literally don't know why I didn't hear it. I didn't know it was going to be a surgical biopsy. So I went by myself because it snowed like crazy. Got cut open with me awake, which was so traumatic because you could hear the drilling. That was insane. They took whatever, had to wait about a week. Everything came back benign. No nothing. So I have to do follow-ups because since they are tumors, basically my mama mad because she wants them just to take everything out now. So why haven't, like, to keep going? How they have it right now is that every 3 months I have to go and get tests. So like my next one, I have May 7th and May 10th for them to do an ultrasound and do some more tests just to make sure nothing is popping off. But I am so over my titties that I think that if they don't recommend like a surgery for it, I'm probably going to go to a, what is it called? A secondary, what's it called? We want a backup person.
Like a second opinion?
A second opinion. That's y'all see, I'm not a writer anymore. I don't know words. Get a second opinion and see if they'll just, because they did it at 16. They're saying, oh, because you're so young, we don't want you to, you know, have to do surgery. I'm like, y'all took one out when I was 16. What you mean? I was too young. But anyway, so that was one scary thing. And I think also that's what got me out of my depression, because you get those moments where you're like, life could be way, 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 way worse. Like that was like a wake up call. I literally thought I had cancer. It wasn't like, you know how you wait, like you don't know which way it's going to go. I truly believed for the entire month of February, because it started January 27th and I got the results the end of, it was like February 26th, February 27th. In my brain, I was like, I'm just waiting for them to say I have it. That's how, because it's like, why is it atypical? What I mean? So I think that was the turning point to make me not as depressed. Not that, I think that's like a really weird thing to say, but I know you understand what I'm trying to say. You know?
Oh no, I definitely do. I remember when you posted that and like, you know, like you want to say something, but you're not sure what the right thing is to say, because like you can say everything, but the person dealing with it, you know, you can, you know what I mean? Like it's a little different when you're trying to be the supportive person, but then you don't want to make the person feel worse because everybody's saying the same thing, you know? I just remember praying so hard for you, because I was just like, I cannot lose my soul, sis. Like, I just need this not to be, you know?
Let's change the subject.
So I'm just, well, the point of me saying that was just that I was very grateful when you posted that everything was okay. I was just very happy about that.
Thank you.
For like just that selfishly, yes, for myself, but also for like you and your family. I was just grateful that, you know, it was like at least there's that, you know, like you're okay.
Yes. And that's what it was, you know, that's the perfect thing. At least there's that. And I think that's what got me over the hump of just being like, woe is me. I don't have everything that I ever wanted in life, so I'm depressed. And I'm teasing myself bad. That's not why I'm depressed. There's other stuff going on in my life. But you know what I mean? Like generally, you know, sat there, you know, when you look at none of the things, like, you know, a lot of stuff was serious, but the other stuff that I was letting get me down would not matter if I would have gotten a bad diagnosis, you know what I mean? And it was just like, I felt that love so much. Like people, like my aunt who never texts, you have to call her landline, texted me. I'm like, what the, like, it was so much love when I was going through all of that. And it was just so scary. And I remember I wasn't going to post anything on Facebook, but I remember my mom was always just like, listen, the more people that know what's going on, the more prayers you have. We need prayer warriors. Because when I found the tumor in 2017, I didn't want to tell anybody. And I was just going to, I'm weird. You know how I just be weird about stuff. And I was like, you know what? I really think something going on. I need everybody. And then it was just so beautiful just how, so like my support system is crazy. And I love y'all. So change the subject. So starting off 2021 was not great. But now it like, it's annoying having to go back every 3 months, but I'd rather do that than be, you know what I mean? I don't have to say it, you know what I mean? The alternate of that, but, woo child, life just be crazy.
I hear you. I just had some crap health-wise too. And I'm just kind of waiting right now. So,
but you better text me.
Yeah, it's not like I think I had to get to a point where I was like, well, if I can't stress right now, don't stress it, because I will think every worst case scenario possible. Like that's an unfortunate side of being like having anxiety. It's like the pessimistic part will always outweigh my optimism, and I will think of every bad case. And I kept telling myself in the last few weeks was just like, for now, because I cannot, this is something I literally have no control over, that just for now, do not put so much onto it, just focus on other things. So that's what I've been doing. But I'm just hoping, you know, like, I've been through enough. Can we not? Can we just, like, give me a break here? Just give me a break. Or something.
Saying that right now, saying it versus truly feeling that.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to have a therapy session right now, because I was going to ask you something that might be deep. So you don't have to answer, because I know this is, we got people in India and stuff listening. But what I was going to say is, like, I know you can say that, but I know you have anxiety and I know what anxiety feels like. Are you actually, like, doing that, or you're just saying it to try to make yourself feel like you're being patient and calm, and because you can't control, you know what I'm trying to say?
I feel like it's a mix, though, because okay. I feel like there are days I really can't help it. It's just like anxiety, and like you want to tell yourself, like, don't think like this, because it messes up everything else and it messes up your mood, but then you can't help it. But then there's other days it's like, okay, can I focus on this part, you know, let me do this with my kids, or let me, like, watch a show of mine that I can watch 100 times because it makes me happy for this moment, then I'll do that and not stress it. I know it's a lot easier said than done. And I feel like why I'm okay, I guess, talking about it to an extent is because mental illness and mental health is always so glossed over, or it's always, like, stigmatized. And I feel like I think if people understand that a lot of us got a lot of crap happening, and, you know, especially with the last year, because I feel like collectively we all had our own shit happen in 2020, but, like, collectively 2020 was, like, a bad year for a lot of people.
Oh, that
I feel like people kind of understanding a lot more, like, yeah, I mean, damn, that was the hell of a year for a lot of people. So I think that's just mostly just, like, that's what I do now. Right now it's, like, I kind of have no choice but just not to think about it every waking second of the day, you know. So I do things. If I'm, like, listening to music or I'm watching something that I've watched 20 times, and my oldest does have been obsessed with Glee. So I feel like being that she feels the need to talk to me about every Glee storyline possibly known to man that I really don't care about, but because this is her way of me, and I'm like, you know what? You might get to the age where you'd be like, mom, ill. And then I'm like, okay, I'm sad. So I allow the fact that she's kind of driving me slightly obsessive, like, crazy. And then I'm like, you know what? I can't complain, because I know I got on my mother's nerves with all the things I obsessed over as a teenager. So I'm like, this is not even as bad as it. Like, I feel like this is, like, light work to all the stuff I did with my mother's nerves. So this is light. And I'm like, if you want to talk to me about these characters and, you know, get upset about the storylines, you know, it's fine, because you're, like, this is your way of spending time with me and want me to be introduced to something that you like, and I'm okay with that. So that's been helping. Like, you know, I'm like, goddamn, like, 4 hours in the past, we was watching episodes. Or she'll find some random YouTube video and explain some more stuff. I'm like, oh my God, but you know what? It's fine, because right now you still want to spend time with me. So I take, like, those little pieces of things that are good and just hold on to that, and just, like, you know, that's what I can do for now. So that's what I hold on to.
You need to text me after this before I come up to New York with my mask on. Fight you. But I relate to that obsessing thing. I never obsessed over anything, so I don't know what that is, what that's like. And
I just need to. Did our friendship not start over of obsession? But
I love the long pause, because you so bad wanted to be like, bitch.
I was like, wait a minute. That our friendship literally started off
over of obsession.
Outside of BookCon was the fact that we were obsessed over Twilight. And then I didn't think I was, I thought I was bad. And then I was like, no, I am not as bad as I thought I was. Like, there's people who are worse, and it's fine because we love it, so it's cool. So
I just want to say that you guys, she mentioned Twilight in this episode. I know you guys are keeping tally of how many times BL brings up
Twilight
in consecutive episodes. It was not me.
Yes, I will take blame for this. That was definitely me. But that's because I think you posted, I think, on Facebook about how did we meet. And I'm like, yeah, it was between the fact that there was the BookCon app.
Oh, that app.
The first time, like, I kind of saw you, but we didn't really hang out until the year after. But then outside of the fact that I was, like, helping you, like, format with your book, it was that because we love Twilight so much. So I was like, that's something I would always, like, you know, hold close, because that's how our friendship started. So.
Yeah, and that's why with BookCon not being, I'm like, cry, it would be so sad. It makes me so sad, because it's not just, it's one thing, like, BookCon, oh yeah, it's great. We get to see our favorite authors and get books and walk around, eat food, blah, blah, blah. But, like, that's literally the basis of our, I would not know you had enough BookCon. Like, literally, I don't think there's another, other, like, in the, like, just the author world, maybe just on, like, social media, if we just cross paths like that, But as far as actually talking, knowing your name is K, you know, my name is BL. I mean, so that's why it makes me so sad, because like it's cancel it last year, cancel it this year, but like they're talking about just inevitably just not coming back, and it's like, it's not gonna be COVID forever, you guys. Like, can we just regroup? I'm hoping that ends up happening.
I did get an email from Reed Pop though, I think yesterday, saying that they were trying to test the theory if they can open up, starting with Comic-Con, that we might get BookCon back. If they can figure out if they can like do limited capacity, meaning of it won't be as many people as it used to be.
That's with, like, fine with me.
Measures. So then I'm like, okay, if y'all can pull this off of Comic-Con, which is probably a lot worse than BookCon as far as the amount of people that would show up, then I might be happy. Like, not that, but I was like that one thing I really looked forward to, because not only just the book world, was because I got to, that was like the time we got to see each other, because we live in two different states. So I was like really depressed. I was like, come on, year. Like, I get it, but come on. Like, that was the one thing I was looking forward to. So I'm hoping that 2022 we can get that happening. I really do.
My least favorite thing, because I have anxiety, my least favorite thing about BookCon are the, I was gonna say are the people. That was so wrong. Are the crowds, not the people, the crowds of people. Like I love
concerts. I hear you.
Everybody who knows me knows I love going to concerts. And when we go to concerts, my friends always like they'll leave and go to the bathroom, or they'll go wait in line to buy a t-shirt, this and that. I sit in my seat until it's time to go, because I hate being in crowds. I hate being another reason why 2020 was very easy for me personally, because I don't like being like, I would get anxiety attacks if the grocery store is too crowded. That's just how I am before COVID. So for me, if I can get on whatever app and immediately get the ticket and they're cutting it down, that's ideal. Lines are less, people not in my face, because I'm always going to be on COVID watch. It's going to be 2032 and I'm still going to be wearing masks because I'm traumatized.
No, I feel you.
It might not be COVID. I hear you. It could be the next pandemic and I'm going to be ready. Like, I'm going to, because I was already OCD about stuff, hand sanitizer, so I didn't have to rush out and buy all this stuff last year, because I'm OCD. I already had wipes, I already had Lysol, I already had hand sanitizer, I already had bulk toilet paper, because I'm just a weirdo, you know. But anyway, ADHD moment. I just wanted to say that my comfort show that I watch on a loop is New Girl. New Girl. I mean, if you watch New Girl, please like comment when this is posted on social media. Like, yay, I watched New Girl 2. We can start a group. I'm like 2 seconds away from starting a fan page. That's how bad my obsession is getting. And I've been watching this show since it came out. So it's not like, you know how people rediscover things on Netflix and they start binging. No, I've been consistently watching New Girl like this since it came out in 2011. And I don't know why I can't stop watching it. I literally watch it on the loop. It goes off the last episode, season 7. And then I just go right back to season 1. But so yeah, I might do a podcast about New Girl. I need you to watch it. Okay.
I watched some episodes because my brother likes the show, so I like watched some episodes. My loop show was definitely Sex and City, because that show would play on like regular TV, and I'll watch it, and then it was on the HBO, and then I watched it again. And at one point, mother was like, do you need to watch it? I'm like, I don't need to. It's a comfort thing. I literally would just play it on loop. And I'm like, I know to the point where I can now say things word for word. And I'm like, it's not even like that I really want to watch it. It's just right now when things feel so odd and off, it's like, well, this is the one thing I know is going to make me like laugh at this one part or make me feel a way in this one part. So I will watch it. That's literally what it is. It's just like, that's definitely one of my loop shows. I have like 3. That's one of them. Over and over.
Did you see that social media post saying people with anxiety watch the same movies and TV shows because it's comfort, where there's nothing. Like, I'm so bad now that when I do watch new shows, because I have been watching new Netflix shows, if I feel like something is about to happen, this is how crazy I am, I literally fast forward through the scene just to make sure. Like, prime example, I was watching, what's that show? Genie and what's the girl with the mama and the daughter? The show.
I know what you're talking about. It's not coming to me, but I do know it's a show on Netflix, right?
Yes. So I watched that show, and there's this scene where the daughter is snuck in the room of some boy. And for some reason, my anxiety spiked up. So I'm like, oh my gosh, if his sister comes in, oh my gosh, if her mom comes in, and they're just talking, I'm like, oh my God, they're going to get caught. because my anxiety is so bad, I couldn't just sit and wait 34 seconds to see what's going to happen next. I had to fast forward to make sure the door didn't open, to make sure nobody walked in. Nobody did. So I got to rewind it and then watch it in peace. That's how bad it is. So instead of watching news, and mind you, this show is not even that kind of show where it's like suspense and it's just a regular drama. It's no big deal. But sometimes my anxiety just goes like, no. We need to know right now. We can't watch this part. And there was another show too where somebody was in a fight and it was, I can't even remember. See, and that's another thing. I don't be remembering these shows that I watch. And I fast forwarded because I was like, ooh, I don't want to see him get hit because I don't know what's going to happen. And he just went to the next scene. I still don't know what ended up happening to the person. but with New Girl, I know everything that's going to happen before they do it. I know there's going to be no surprises. Like, I know what episodes to skip over. Like when Nick and Jess break up, that might have been a spoiler. My bad. Oops. I don't watch that episode because it makes me sad. So
that's literally what I watch with me in horror movies. I mean, I watched Insidious so many times, and my reasoning was, oh, it's random white people dying, and it's not me, so I can watch it. And that's literally the reason. And I think at one point, I watched Insidious 6 times in 1 week. And then my son was like, Mom, why? And I'm like, because I know these people's going to get hurt at this moment, and it's not me. So it's fine.
I forgot the same brain when it comes to the scary stuff. Everything I just described in my last sentence is why I don't rock with scariness, because it's like, you can't just be popping up on me. I don't care. That's why when I watch scary movies, the rarity that I watch a scary movie, it has to be a scary movie with actors that I have seen in other movies, because then my brain is like, oh, you know they didn't die. So like when I was younger, if Blair Witch came out and it was the whole, remember, it was like the rumor that it was real and all that kind of stuff. I was like 12 or 13. My friend Shaleka Vargas, that is so weird that her whole name just came back to me. I have not talked to her since like the 7th grade. But anyway, Shaleka Vargas had a sleepover and it was about 5 or 6 girls in her basement and they wanted to put Blair Witch on. I'm like, I'm finna go home. Ain't no way, because these are real people. They really finna die on this documentary.
Y'all want to
watch
documentary? Yeah, that was like the first found footage movie. And at the time, when you're young, you're like, "Yo, this happened." But yes, in my head, it always was like, there was never no black people. I was like, black people not dumb enough to do this. So for me, I was okay watching it because I'm like, well, nobody black did this. We know better. That's always my head. It's like, it's random white folk that is doing dumb stuff and getting killed, and this is perfectly fine. Because I just feel like black people wouldn't really put themselves in these situations like this. And if there is that one black person in a horror movie, they're surrounded by white people, so they don't really know any better. It's like, that's literally my reasoning. So when I watch horror movies that I've watched 20 million times, is literally like, oh, I know exactly what's going to happen at this moment, and it's perfectly fine. Because it's random people I don't know. That's literally what I've been doing.
See, we're the exact opposite. I can't. I'm like, I don't know these people. They probably dead for real. So that's why growing up, I Know What You Did Last Summer. I could watch that. You want to know why? Because I know who Jennifer Love Hewitt is. I know Brandy. Brandy was my queen. I can watch all those things. Scream. I know Courtney Cox. She's on Friends. She's not dead. I can watch this. I was fine with those movies because those are like, even though I was still scared of them because I'm just a scary person, I know for a fact that those are actors and other things that are living, breathing people. But don't you come at me with no Paranormal Activity with these nobodies. Don't come at me with Blair Witch Project. I would say Blair Underwood. Oh my gosh. Did I say Blair Underwood when we first said this, or did I say Blair Witch?
You said Blair Witch. You were good.
Like, all those, like, nobody, like, do you remember the movie Pumpkinhead?
Yeah.
I don't even think it's a scary movie. I wouldn't know, because when my mom put that on when I was 10 years old, I put my entire face in her chest and sat like that for the entire movie. 2016, we saw, what's that scary movie with the doll in the glass case?
Annabelle.
Ugh. Okay. My sister was in Florida. She came up and surprised us. We're having family time. They said, let's go to a movie. Everybody know I don't go to scary movies. I sat in that theater with my face in my coat, my hoodie, for the entirety of the movie. Don't know anything that happened because I didn't know those actors. I never saw those actors before in anything else. I couldn't relate to them in any way. And I just sat there like that next to my daddy. So just to give you insight on how we're alike in a lot of areas, but we are polar opposite in a good handful of areas.
Yeah, I am the one who likes hard ones. If you something like that, y'all can't ask me to pick anything. My very first go-to, if it is not Titanic, it will be a horror movie. Or I might put on, like, you know, the Twilight, Harry Potter, you know, because there's a bunch of them. It's like, okay, I can give you guys these because there's several movies, so we could just make a marathon out of this. Or we're going to watch Titanic so I can complain about how shitty Rose is. Or we're going to watch this horror movie that I already know what happens. We're going to watch it anyway. So I was like, don't have me pick a movie because you're going to get one of those four options. I am not the right person to pick a movie. I am the wrong person. I was like, you're going to get a horror movie, Titanic, or Twilight or Harry Potter. The marathons. That's what's going to happen.
I'm so that the first time I read Breaking Dawn, I told you this before, I was terrified that Aro was going to kill the Cullens. Because I remember, I didn't know anything. We didn't have those movies yet. I didn't grow up reading the books. So this is like 2009. I don't even think New Moon wasn't even out yet. So I'm reading this book. I put it down. Not because I was sad that they were about to die. I was scared. I'm like, how is he going to kill him? How is it going to? I was terrified. So you know how you used to tag me? You probably remember this. You know those author things where they say favorite author, favorite book, favorite time of day to write and all that kind of stuff? And it says scariest book you've ever read. And yours was like, you named some like Stephen King or something. So when I did mine, I was like, Breaking Dawn? I don't care. That movie, that book was terrifying. They ripped a baby out of her. That is scary. I don't care what anybody says. So just to give you the barometer of like, you don't think it is scary. And I think Bella having a baby is scary. Just to give you the differences of how our brains work.
Yeah, I can tell. I was like, listen, y'all can't ask me this when it comes to horror movies because my brain, I don't get scared. So I'm just like, okay, but it didn't happen for real. Like, if it happens to me, that might be different. I always go like, it's not happening to me. That's the way I like do the meter. I'm like, this was me and somebody like popped up in my house and there was a spirit, I'm gone. There's no let's wait a year or so. Yeah. Let me go put it like a YouTube video. Like, guys, I think my house is haunted. No, I'm gone. So for me, when I see the people in the movies do this shit, and I'm like, so y'all just not gonna leave or not? No, y'all just gonna let this happen? And so for me, it's like, oh, it's just random people doing dumb shit. So it's fine. It's fine. I feel like as far as like slasher movies, I'm like, I'm not talking to any killer over the phone and think we're gonna have a conversation. And I don't know you. Like, that's what the block numbers are for. You block. Like, so in my head, it's like, y'all can't expect me to realistically believe y'all arguing people. Like, they were arguing people in Scream, and they talking to them. I'm like, why are you having a conversation? Hang up the phone. Block the number. Like, to me, that's the way I look at it. So I'm like, I can't take these movies seriously for that reason. Because I'm like, who does this? Like, who's going to have a conversation with some random person with your favorite scary movie, and y'all having a dialogue, and you don't know this person? Like, I'm blocking the number. Or if I even answer the number, because I don't answer numbers I don't know. So so in my head, it's like, this is not scary for me.
We should collab on a black scary book. But here's the thing, because the way my logic is set up, it's going to be a pamphlet. And it's going to be like, she got scared and left.
And Mario gonna be like, oh, somebody knocked on the door, and she was like, okay, and I'm not answering, so the end.
A number that she didn't recognize called her, she didn't answer. The end. Like, when somebody broke in, she didn't run up the steps, she ran out the back door. The end.
Oh, he like, got beat with something, because I'm a firm believer, you beat the person until they can't get up. I'm like, I'm no dude that you hit them one time and run. Like, no, you make sure the person is down, so...
Oh, yeah. I never understood. You hit them in the head, and then you turn your back like, oh, sigh of relief. I did it. And then they slit your throat. Like, bro, I know.
No, I'm a believer. You make sure that person cannot get back up, and oh, all is well. Gosh. So I feel like people are too stupid. Thank you.
My fat butt going to be running. You know how you do run and fall? I think because my body gains so much weight so fast, and I still have really tiny ankles, I would think that I was running at a certain speed and I would just die. Like, I don't think the person really got to be knocked out. I don't think I can run. Knock on wood. See, I don't even like talking about this. I just made myself scared.
See, my issue is my knees are not great. So I feel like I'll run. I'm like, oh man, I'm tired, you guys. So we can't do this. Like, we can't. We're not running. I'm not rolling. I'm not hiding under nothing. I'm like, that's too much, because now I have to get back up when it's time for me to leave, and that's going to be too much effort. We're not doing any of this.
You know, they show like those funny TikToks where the killer's killing them, and they're running in slow motion, like, oh my gosh, and they're turning on the sink and washing dishes, like, oh, and they're trying to run in slow motion. I feel like that's how fast, like, in my mind, I would think I'm Usain Bolt, like, I'm out there, but I'm really just like, oh, you're literally touching my shoulder right now. Okay, change the subject. This is too much. I don't want to talk about this. Like, I've literally, can you hear that in the background? I've knocked on wood 4 times in this conversation. I feel like we're talking this shit into, like, I don't like that. That's not my vibe. I want to talk.
No, I hear you. I understand. I'm the weirdo because I am definitely a person who like could watch horror movies like weirdo, like it's regular, and I know I probably shouldn't, but I don't know what's wrong with me.
Wait, but- I'm just gonna add this last thing. Let me tell you how horrible I am. And my brother, oh, I wish we could have guests on here so he could tell the story, because he really, really just like dogged my life months ago. You're gonna laugh at me. Don't laugh, okay?
Okay.
Cover your mouth. Don't laugh. We were watching Madea's Boo. What is it? The Boo Halloween, right? Yeah. So it was my mom, her fiance, Trey, and myself. And we're watching it. And I and my mom, because she jumped me too, like jumped like 4 different times out of the movie and whatever. So my brother was cracking up laughing. Over Easter, we were talking about something and he was bringing up, because he loved, like, you and my brother would just have best conversations about scary movies. He's obsessed with them. He likes the weird shit that no one's ever seen too, and I think you like that stuff too. But anyway,
oh no, I don't like those type of horror movies, the ones that you slide at like some random video store. No, I hate those. I'm like, what is this? I get so irritated. But like, what is this? Who made this?
But anyway, so he was like, Brit, and I'm like, what? He burst out laughing. I'm like, what? He was like, I literally looked at you in the middle of the movie and you had the cover over your face. We were watching Madea. And I'm like, first of all, it don't matter who was in the movie. People was jumping out left and right. It was clowns in that movie, Kay. I don't care that it's Tyler Perry with a wig on. A whole clown popped up behind her and tried to kill her. That is scary. And he was cracking up laughing. He was like, in my life, I've never seen anyone. You literally were covering your face over a Madea movie. And I'm like, listen, anybody can get scared. It doesn't have to be some slasher movie with some actor that you never heard of. Tyler Perry can make you scared too. So anyway, I just wanna, and you said you wasn't gonna laugh.
I know, but I think the fact that you said he said like, but it's Madea, and I'm like, yeah, I think I would have been like, wait, what? Why? What? Like, why is this scary? So I get that reference. That's why I laugh. And I definitely understand.
Like, it's not like I thought it was scary, like Texas Chainsaw people jumping at you. If a toddler is in the living room and they throw something that makes a loud sound, I'm a jump. Like, I don't understand why I gotta be still and not be shocked that there's a killer clown behind her because she's Madea. It was scary, damn it. I don't know. But anyway, I'm not no punk though. I ain't no punk. I just scare easily.
I mean, listen, I feel like in the real scenario, if you can handle yourself in the real scenario, it's fine. Like,
yes, if I was walking down the street, no, if I'm walking in an attic, I think she was in the attic. I don't know, because half my face was covered. If she's walking in the attic and a clown pops up behind you, that's scary in real life. If that happened to you in real life, that would be scary, right?
Yeah, because I don't let people stand behind me, which is why I tell my kids, like, if I'm a light sleeper, so if you just stand.
The killer clown, okay?
Jeez. No, I feel like I don't like being like startled. So it's like, yeah, when my kids sometimes will like stand over the bed when I'm a light sleeper. So I would know. And I'm like, can you not just stand there? Say something. You standing yes over me like a weirdo makes me feel weird and creepy. Nope. Don't do that. Just say hi. Even if it's like door. Really like, why are you here? Can we not do that at like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning when I'm like trying to adjust my eyes to the fact that there's no light on? Like, I that's what I don't like. I don't like being startled necessarily. I feel like my reaction to somebody behind me is to swing. So yeah. It's like my first reaction is like, oh, you trying to hurt me, I'm gonna swing. So, which is why I don't like people just necessarily standing behind me. I feel like my first reaction is to like, oh, I'm gonna harm you now because why are you behind me?
Exactly. Yeah. It wasn't so much the thing behind it, was the fact that it was a clown with a knife. But I feel you. But like, when I moved back home, when I was like 23, I moved back home for a year, and I would be in the kitchen, and then my dad is a very like calm person. He walks slow, he's quiet, he doesn't have a heavy tread, and I would jump all the time. He's like, more than one person lives in this house. Britt, you are so jumpy. I'm like, Daddy, you just be walking up. Like, you just be so, like, you don't even breathe it. I don't hear shoes squeaking. You just be there. I would just constantly jump. And it's three people living in the house every time because I'm such a jumpy person. But anyway, I don't want to further embarrass myself. And then you guys, I knew in my heart this was going to happen. This is why I was like, hey, we got to go on like right at six as soon as I get off.
Yeah, I was really about to tell you. I was like, we were supposed to make this a quick episode that totally.
It was supposed to be 30 minutes, y'all. We talked about this. And I'm going to see if I can get wait, this one will come out till Monday so I can say it. I'm going to see if I can get this birthday cake in the morning because I need to wash my hair. And I do not feel like right now. But I knew it was going to happen because in my head, I was like, you know what? I can just do it at 6:30. We can do it at 7, maybe, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know what? Let me do it right away because there's no way it's going to be 30 minutes. I'm going to put it out there.
But yes, we definitely did go longer than we were supposed to. We were supposed to do this quick episode. But then I would say partially it's probably because we haven't spoken to each other in months. So maybe this is why.
Yes. Like, this is our first time hearing each other's voices. Like, we text or, you know, social media here and there.
Yeah.
This is our first time, like, hearing each other. And I think our brain just said,
yeah, I feel like it always happens because it was like, we haven't, like, especially when you first did this, the first episode of new season, like, let's just like quickly try to catch up, and then it happened, so.
Yeah, so it ends up just being a regular conversation, and then we forget that, oh, this is recorded. I swear, because my sister, I told you that it's getting bad out here, but I just want to close it with saying that I am so happy that that bastard was found guilty on all three charges.
Yes.
I can't talk about Micaiah Bryant. It's too emotional. Dwayne, who else has been murdered in the last 2 weeks?
I feel like it's been quite a few, honestly.
It's been like back to back. Andrew Brown, people haven't really been talking about Andrew Brown. He was unarmed and shot. There was a warrant out for him and he was shot. I don't really know the situation with that. I know I'm forgetting someone else. Oh, the 13-year-old Toledo. Was it Adam Toledo?
Mm-hmm.
I hope they all rest in peace. I didn't mean to make it turn like that. I just
no, wanted, it's fine.
It's current event. That's something that I just feel like we got to acknowledge. We'll probably end up doing, I'm sure we'll probably end up doing a show on the craziness that is happening. But I've missed you, Kay.
I missed you too.
I am so glad that we are back, and hopefully it's going to be interesting this year because my work schedule has changed. So we're going to try to make it work as far as making sure it's convenient for you and then it's not crazy for this. It's just, we'll figure it out. Hopefully we will be more, you know, consistent this year. Last year was a little with the recordings of the shows. But we are so excited to be back.
Yes, definitely.
I was gonna try to close out, but that's all I got. So you go ahead.
No, just like, I'm just glad that you guys even stuck around. You guys chose to listen. I checked earlier today. I didn't realize people were still listening to the last couple of seasons. Like, they just watched here and listened. And to me, like, especially when usually when a season ends, I do no promotion for anything after that. Cause I'm just like, let me just get my mind kind of reset a bit. So I'm like, the fact that with not me not really promoting anything and people still find the podcast and still listen to the episodes, to me, it's like insane. But I'm also very grateful that people want to hear us talk and rant and joke and all that stuff. So I'm just grateful for Four Seasons. I'm grateful that you are still co-hosting with me. I could not do this without you. Yay. And, you know, and we cannot wait to see you guys in the next episode. Hopefully we'll be one soon enough.
I promise you it's not going to be like June 7th. Like, hey, guys. Sorry. It's not going to be. We're not going to do that. All right. We love you so much. Thank you for listening and talk to you next time. Hey.
Bye, guys.
Bye.